as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honour the emperor." Now we're going to invite Ian up, and I'll pray for you, Ian, before you speak. Lord, thank you for Ian. Thank you for the time and effort that he's put into preparing the message to give to us today. I pray that you'll be with him as he delivers that message. I pray that you will be with us as we listen. I pray that you'll prepare our hearts to hear what you want to say to us through Ian's message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Paul. Can I have the first slide up, please? Lots of slides today. We're continuing our series on Heroes of the Bible. And as you've heard, today's hero, the one that I've chosen, is Bezalel. Let's see if I can make this work. Yeah, thanks. I'll give you a nod. Thanks. All right. Do you ever remember building a cubby house? Lots of times we, as kids, we used to find scrap timber, a bit of iron or a packing case lying around. We could make ourselves a cubby house, but even just using sticks that had been from cutting back all the branches on the trees. What was your cubby house made of? Where was it? Just in the backyard? I remember back in the olden days, we used to have big backyards. There was a swamp over the back of our place, and we could go over there and build stuff over there. Was it permanent? Is it something that... let's go to the next one. Yeah. and the next one? These days you can just go down the shop and buy one. But Bezalel was a builder. I think he was more qualified than any builder I've ever met. When it comes to building something important, who are you going to get? You want somebody who comes highly recommended, someone with credentials, highly skilled, able to manage the workforce, able to understand what the owner wants, and able to build it. Bezalel was such a man. The name ring a bell? Well, it's from Exodus, as we heard. But he was the son of Uri, the son of Hur. And in the Old Testament, how do you keep track of all the different people who had the same name? Well, you tie them back to their dad and their grandfather. That way you could identify the individual. But God was building a nation for himself. And it was a tough job if you read the whole story. So where does Bezalel fit into that story that we all know about the Exodus? Next one, please. Bezalel built the tabernacle, the portable meeting place where God would live with his people while they were traveling to the promised land. It needed to be something grand, something that would inspire worshippers, something that could be seen from a long way off, a suitable place for God to dwell, and, oh yes, be portable. God's people, the descendants of Jacob, or Israel as he became known, had been made slaves in Egypt. These Israelites were beaten and cruelly treated. They cried out to God. God rescued them by raising up Moses, sending the plagues on Pharaoh and the Egyptians, until Pharaoh finally sent them away. But not empty-handed. They had been told to ask their Egyptian neighbors for gold and all sorts of valuables. If God was to build a nation for himself, he had to get them out of Egypt. Moses led them across the Red Sea, and then that horrible Pharaoh changed his mind and tried to capture them again, but he and his chariots couldn't swim. I could have chosen Moses as my hero, the way he led all those people, over 2 million of them. But that's a story for another day. God was looking after his people. They arrived at Mount Sinai, where God called Moses up the mountain to give him the 10 words. The people agreed to live by these 10 commandments. Later, God summoned Moses along with the 70 elders and Aaron up to the mountain. And while they were heading up there, they sacrificed fellowship offerings at the foot of the mountain. Then they went on up with the food. They were able to sit down and have a meal in God's presence. It says they saw God and they ate and drank a covenant confirmation meal in God's presence. Exodus 25 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give.'" Next slide, please. It's Moses up on the mountain. It was 4 weeks ago that the elders let this congregation know about a need in the Congo for funds to finish building a school. God has moved the hearts of people here to contribute $7,500 to that project. That money, along with $2,000 from our bank account, has all been sent and gratefully received. I guess we'll see some photos in due course, but the church there in Nyakabera is praising God and blessing the people of Bedford. Back there in the wilderness, God gave Moses a vision of heaven. A vision of a special meeting tent that God would dwell in and everyone would see, a pillar of cloud over it during the day and a pillar of fire at night. The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Why did God choose Bezalel? Well, three things stand out about Bezalel. One, he was an artist and an astonishingly accomplished artisan. He was a metal worker, jeweler, gem cutter, woodworker, a bit like the this family down here. Yeah. Exodus 35 says that he was also an engraver, a designer, an embroiderer, and weaver, and performed every inventive work. Anyone who knows how long apprenticeships take in only one craft will agree that Bezalel was gifted. Number two, the second thing about Bezalel, he was from the tribe of Judah, but he was a forerunner of other builders. Years later, another man, let's go on to the next slide, please. Years later, another man from the line of Judah, King David, by the Spirit of God, would be given plans for building another earthly house for God. But it was David's son Solomon who got to build that temple. Yes, please. Line of Judah are house builders. In 2 Samuel 7, David had received a message from the Lord. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I'll raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build the house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. What kind of house could be built that will last forever? A house not made with hands. Hebrews 9 says, "For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands, was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." Third thing about Bezalel, his name is highly meaningful. It means in the shadow of God. Now, living in somebody else's shadow kind of implies that you're not so important. But Bezalel was overshadowed by God's Spirit. In Exodus 31, God says, "I have endowed him with a divine spirit of skill, ability, and knowledge in every kind of craft." Next one, please. That brings me to mind what was said to Mary all those years later. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Even the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. So what kind of person do you have to be to live in the shadow of God? Just somebody like a humble shepherd boy who loved God and was keen to do what pleased him? Or a humble Moabite woman who decided to put her trust in God like her mother-in-law? Or a self-righteous prig of a man whose heart was changed when confronted by Christ on the way to Damascus and committed himself to follow Jesus? Because it's not what we were that matters, but what we have become when we choose to follow Jesus. God gives us his Spirit. God is the builder of this temple made with living stones. It is peoples whose hearts have been changed and whose sins have been forgiven because of the one perfect sacrifice that has been made. So what did this job involve that Bezalel had? He knew what he had to do, but he had to work out how to do it. He was to use his artistic skills and those of his helpers to make all the items that God had said. Every item that was to be made was not an end in itself. It was part of the house that God was building. This was the means of building a people for himself. Some of these would turn away and, like Lot's wife, look back to where they'd come from. It was during the 40 days that Moses was up on the mountain with God, receiving the instructions for building the tabernacle, that some of the people built the golden calf and bowed down to worship it. If these Israelites were really to be God's people, God was going to have to get Egypt out of them. Trusting God means taking him at his word. Whoever believes in the Son of God, in the Son, has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. The ones who trust God are the ones being built into the house that lasts forever. There's a story about Michelangelo. When he was asked to paint the Sistine Chapel, he had no experience at painting a large picture, let alone one on a ceiling. He was a sculptor and a very good one, but he believed he could do the job and so chose the best paints and the most difficult but best way of painting. He didn't do it all without help. He needed helpers to mix and bring the paint and adjust the scaffolding. He had to learn as he went about painting perspective on the curved surfaces of the dome so that it looked correct from the floor of the chapel. He painted a series of 9 pictures showing God's creation of the world, God's relationship with mankind and mankind's fall from God's grace. On the large curved triangles, he painted 12 biblical and classical men and women who prophesied that God would send Jesus Christ for the salvation of mankind. And around the upper parts of the windows, he painted the ancestors of Christ. Now, Bezalel had a big job in front of him. There are 6 chapters of construction documents in Exodus, describing the work that had to be done, and none of them were going to be a cinch. First, the tent of the meeting with 4 layers of covering. Then the Ark of the Covenant Law and the atonement cover on it. And what does a cherub look like? And then there's all the other things, the furnishings. Let's have a look through them. There's the curtains, the priest's garb, very intricate. We'll zoom in on it. The breastplate there, and the next one. Yeah, these were all going to be quite difficult to do. If the Bible is correct, we have different gifts according to the grace that has been given to each of us. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Then each one of us is empowered for the work of building God's house, the one made without hands, the one that will last forever. Can I ask you, what's the job that you've been given? Is it the morning tea, the cleaning, the communion things, making music, or teaching our young ones? Is your gift administration or giving or helping or serving or mercy. None of these is an end in itself. Each job we do is part of the big project that God is doing, and we have a responsibility to do it to the best of our ability and to use the creativeness that God has built into us. And we should be seeking to grow in whatever work we are doing as we go on. For instance, if we're on the morning tea roster, do we see our job as bringing some food to share, putting out the cups, and then cleaning up? Or is what we do part of helping others to enjoy fellowship in God's family? It involves all of those things, but it's much more important than just food and drink. Bezalel and all the other workers know this was not just a tent they were making, it was a dwelling place for the creator of the universe. Every good builder needs a right-hand man. Bezalel was to build the first on-earth dwelling for the Lord, but not alone. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him, said God. Oholiab means tent of the Father. Both Bezalel and Oholiab knew for whom they were working. Here we have a picture of the women working as part of the team of helpers and other skilled workers who were relied on to do their best work for the owner of this tent of meeting. How did this work out? Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver and bronze, blue, purple and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece." Everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service and for the sacred garments. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. And that created a problem. All the skilled workers said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough to do the work that the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave the order and they sent this word throughout the camp, "Don't make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more because they already had more than was needed to do the work. God the builder has privileged us to have a part in what he is doing. He has anointed us and his spirit lives in us. Bezalel the builder was a hero because he gives us an example of what Christ has done, making it possible for God to dwell with his people forever. Our challenge is, how can we be more diligent in our work and faithful in our service? Hebrews 3 says, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself." Yes, please. For every house is built by someone, But God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are God's house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory.